Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, for this hour of comedy. Later on, we hear Mr. Television on radio. It's the Milton Berle Show. But right now, it's the Armed Forces Theater with the Devil and Miss Jones, featuring Charles Coburn, who starred in the motion picture of the same name, this Armed Forces Radio Service broadcast from 1948.
The Armed Forces Radio Theater presents The Devil and Miss Jones, starring Charles Coburn and Virginia Mayo. This is the story of a horrible old capitalist who was supposed to be a devil, but really turned out to be a pretty good egg. And of a dame who was supposed to be symbolic of the common man, but who really turned out to be pretty human, too. All in all, you can call it a merry tale in which it is proved that heaven always protects the working girl.
Good morning, J.P.
How are you, J.P.?
Good morning, J.P.
Good morning. I see by the papers that I've been hanged in effigy in front of that department store at 38th Street.
Some desperate malcontents must have done it.
I thought I sold everything below 38th Street 3 years ago.
We kept it, J.P., because the store was exactly on 38th Street.
This dummy doesn't look like me. Maybe it's supposed to be one of you.
Which one?
There's a sign on the dummy with your name on it.
Have this picture enlarged and everybody, even watching it, fired.
An excellent suggestion, J.P.
Beg pardon, sir. Your lunch. Will you have the crackers whole, or shall I crumble them in the milk, sir?
Crumble them, you idiot.
We're rounding up the troublemakers. We have a detective working on it.
Where is this detective?
In the next room, J.P.
That's all, gentlemen. Good day.
Yes, hey, J.P.
Are you the detective?
Yes, sir. I'm Higgins, Thomas Higgins.
What progress have you made, Higgins?
Oh, I've gotten a job in the store. Nobody knows I'm a detective except the personnel head. Not even the general manager.
I see.
I'm a salesman in the children's shoe department. That's the hotbed, the whole fifth floor.
When do you propose to round up these troublemakers?
Well, Mr. Merrick, it'll take time. I got to worm my way in. About 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Why not 3 days?
Well, sir, first I got to go down to Philly. My wife's having a baby.
I see. Well, Higgins, you should be with your wife. I'll get someone else for this assignment. Oh, I'll keep your card if you don't mind.
Gee, thank you, sir. You're very kind.
That's all right, Higgins. That's all.
More milk, sir, or anything?
Don't say anything. Anything means crackers. Come here, George.
Yes, Mr. Merrick.
George, I'm going to delve into conditions. I'm going down to that store of mine, mix with the employees, let them talk to me, and I'll play with them like a cat with a mouse.
Oh, my, Mr. Merrick.
Not Mr. Merrick, George. For a while, my name is going to be Higgins. Thomas Higgins. Yes, Thomas Higgins.
There you are, madam.
Thank you. And what can I do for you, sir?
I'm working here. I'm a new salesman.
Oh, you're Higgins.
Uh-huh.
You mean Higgins, don't you? Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Higgins, in the intelligence test you took this morning, your rating was 66. That's 1 point over the lowest passing grade.
Perhaps there was some mistake.
We don't make mistakes, Higgins. Neely's is never wrong. This is the lowest intelligence rating in my department. I hope you have other qualities to compensate for it, for your own sake. And Miss Jones, don't lean against my desk, Higgins.
Yes, Mr. Hooper.
And Miss Jones, I'm assigning Higgins to slippers. Show him his duty.
Welcome to the shoe department, Mr. Higgins. You come right with me. Now, this is your counter. Bedroom, lounging, and house slippers. It's really the best job, Mr. Higgins. No bending down for try-ons.
He doesn't think I'm good enough to sell shoes, is that it?
Oh, don't be silly. It's just the same. You have to be cleverer selling slippers than shoes.
How could he tell I'm not as good a salesman as the next one?
Oh, it's just your vanity that's hurt. You can sell shoes when you're relieved for lunch. And you show him then what a good salesman you are. Your lunch hour is from 12 to 1. That's in 30 minutes.
I'm not going to eat lunch.
You're not?
I'll stay right here, selling slippers, and I'll make a good impression.
Mr. Higgins, why aren't you going to eat lunch?
I'm not going to eat because I'm not hungry. I never have lunch anyway.
You go to lunch at 12 sharp. Here, take this.
I don't want your money.
No argument.
Well, you don't mind waiting on me, do you?
Oh, what can I do for you, madam?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Higgins.
Yes?
I want you to meet Elizabeth Ellis. She will show you where the employee's restaurant is when your lunchtime comes.
Mm, thank you. Hello, Miss Ellis.
I'll be back for you.
Do I see the shoes I asked for, or don't I?
Hmm? Oh, yes, yes, of course, madam, of course. What kind of shoes do you wish? Button or strings?
Are you sure you won't have anything?
No. Thank you very much. I never eat lunch.
It's nicer out here in the park than in the company lunchroom, isn't it?
Yeah, very nice. Don't you think it terrible that the store won't let the people organize?
I make these popovers myself. You're very rude not to try one.
I wonder where they're holding a meeting tonight.
Go ahead, eat it.
What is it?
Tuna fish popovers.
Tuna fish popovers?
So, bite it. It's my own invention.
Oh, no, I couldn't. Really, I couldn't.
Oh, please. If I ask you.
Have you got a graham cracker?
Oh, a grown man eating graham crackers. There's no nourishment in that. Now, you eat that popover. It won't bite you.
Won't it, though? Tuna fish. Mm.
Like it?
I don't know yet. Is it good tuna fish?
It costs 12 cents a can.
12 cents a can?
It's almost as good as you can buy.
Almost as good?
Eat it. Go on.
Well, it tastes good.
Yeah, thank you. Here, have another.
No, thank you, no.
Oh, one's not enough to feed an infant. Now, take it. How does a man exist without a woman looking after him? I could tell you're a single man. You are single, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What did you do before this?
Oh,
what kind of work?
All kinds. Mm, you'd be surprised.
Oh, Mr. Hooper's coming.
He is he? Wait until I put his name down in my little black book. Fire Hooper.
Hello, Mr. Hooper.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hooper.
How do you do, Miss Ellis?
Walked right by. He usually sits here for a few minutes. I hope he's not angry.
Give me another popover.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hooper. Oh, we must get back to the store. Lunchtime is over.
All right, let's.
Only one more flight, Mr. Higgins, then we'll be there.
I hope so. My feet hurt. I've had a hard day at the store today.
Well, it's after hours and the store's closed now. And you're on your own. Does your finger still hurt?
A little.
I can't understand how you've never been in an automat before.
I've never thought of it. I could sue them getting my finger caught like that.
Higgins, tell me the truth. Was the manager right? Did you try and get that blueberry pie without putting in a nickel?
I tell you, I did put in a nickel, but I went to get coffee and somebody must have sneaked the pie out. It was their responsibility to give me another piece of pie, and I would have gotten it, too, if you hadn't interfered.
Oh, here we are, the door to the roof.
Well, what's this?
Oh, this is the meeting, our meeting of store employees.
Hello, baby, you're late. Who's this?
Oh, Joe, this is Mr. Higgins. He started in the store today.
Welcome, brother.
Mr. Higgins, this is Joe O'Brien. He hung up the dummy of John P. Merritt.
Yeah, made the front page of the Times, all right.
Did you see it, Mr. Higgins?
Yes, I saw it. Well, this is quite a pleasure, Mr. O'Brien.
Likewise, I'm sure. Well, come on, folks, we're about set to get started with the meeting.
Oh, come on, Higgins, stop writing in your diary.
Huh? Oh, yes, plenty of time for that, eh?
Oh, Mr. Higgins.
Why, Elizabeth, you here too?
Well, of course. And I knew you'd join us. I could tell it the minute I saw you.
Yes, you could, of course, couldn't you?
Now, many of you are here for the first time, and you'd probably like to know more about us. Well, we're not professional agitators. I started in the Neely store 6 years ago as a packing boy and worked myself up to assistant section manager. Now, what we want
is
what...
Excuse me, Joe.
Huh?
If I may, I'd like to show you a practical case of what we're fighting for.
Why, sure. This is Miss Jones of
children's shoes.
This is Mr. Higgins, Tom Higgins. How old are you, Mr. Higgins?
53.
He's 53. That's not very old. He came to work this morning in children's shoes without the few cents in his pocket to buy his lunch. And do you know how he got his lunch? From another employee, sharing a few crusts she brought, which were hardly enough for herself.
Oh, that's too bad.
Look at him. 53 years of age, and nothing to eat. And in a few more years, he'll be let out. White-haired and friendless, with no one to turn to except charity. And the poorhouse.
Mr. Higgins, please, take your seat.
Oh, Mr. Higgins, you were so wonderful.
Well, I didn't do anything.
Oh, but you did. You were so brave, standing up there. My heart cried for you. What you need is someone to care for you. To keep you from going to the poorhouse.
Yes, I do. I never thought about it in just that way before, Miss Elizabeth. But you're so right. You're so wonderfully right, my dear.
Divine a picnic. Is there anywhere in the world as divine as Coney Island on Saturday afternoon?
Well, maybe, Liz, but it's too crowded to go look for it.
Higgsy, are you having fun?
Fun? Yes, indeed.
Oh, I knew I'd forgotten something. There's the hot dog banner. I'll get us some and be right back.
Well, I think I'll go for a swim.
Nobody's going to be watching you, so don't show off and swim down to Montauk.
See you at Frankfurter time in old Coney Island.
I guess you love that young fellow, eh?
Sort of. You know, Mr. Higgins, I've never even thought of what it would be like not to see him anymore. And that's probably the test of it. Why, if I thought I'd never see him again, I don't think I'd care if I lived or died.
I guess that must be love.
Oh, it isn't so hard to find, Higgins. Don't you find it when you look at Elizabeth?
Well, I don't know, Miss Jones. You see, I've only been looking at her for a few days.
But you must see something in her eyes.
Well, I suppose I must. What could it be?
Isn't it kind of soft, like moonlight? Doesn't it bounce back at you and give you kind of a hot foot inside when you see her looking at you like that?
Well, my dear, I think I'll go for a swim. What does one do?
Well, one goes up to the bathhouse, rents a suit, and one dunks, doesn't one?
I suppose one does. Yes, I suppose one does. I beg your pardon, but I was wondering if I could find out whether my clothes are in your bathhouse.
Did you take them off here?
I don't exactly remember.
Where's your locker key? That has our name on it.
I don't seem to have a key. I've been walking about for hours.
Does this look like the place?
Well, I rented this suit. Can you tell me if it's yours?
No, brother. That ain't ours. That's a pretty cheap suit.
Not yours, eh? Well, thank you.
Yeah, ain't never seen yous before. You don't belong in this bathhouse. Try down the line.
Thank you. How many more bathhouses are there around here?
Oh, a couple hundred, maybe.
I've got a big bargain for you, son.
Huh? What's a gag? Hey, what you want? This is a cigar store, not a pawn shop.
My watch. It's quite good. You can have it for a dollar. It's solid gold.
Solid gold, huh? I'll take it back and bite it. Wait here.
say you see, Sergeant. I find this character in a cigar store, and he's trying to sell his watch to the clerk. Mm-hmm. When I question him, he said he wanted the money to call his chauffeur. And besides that, he says he got the watch from the governor. I thought that was suspicious.
It's suspicious enough for me. Lock him up.
There he is. Higgsy, keep your chin up. We'll get you out.
I'll say we will.
Mr. Higgins.
Hey, what is all this?
These are my friends, sir. Now, we'll see. We'll see if you can lock up an innocent man.
Now, let's get this straight, Sergeant. I'm a free American citizen. And under the Constitution, I've got my rights. And I say to you... Well, what if it did cost us our last $10? We got you out of jail, didn't we?
Yes, Joe. You talked him right out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sleepy. I got sand in my sock. And the subway is so crowded.
Lie back, honey. We'll be home soon.
Oh. Look at him. Higgins and Liz. Just like turtle doves.
Turtle dove yourself. By the way, when did you ever see any turtle dove?
Well, it's just an expression.
Put your arms around me. Stop worrying about turtles.
Elizabeth.
Yes, Tom.
I want you to tell me something.
What is it?
Didn't Hooper ask you to this picnic today?
Yes, he did.
Well, tell me, why did you go with me instead?
Well, see... Mr. Hooper is the executive type. And you, well, you're sort of helpless. You need someone to look after you.
He's the executive type, and I'm helpless.
Now, don't be offended. People can't tell on themselves. But that's the type you are.
For heaven's sake.
I don't like the executive type.
What you can see in him is beyond me.
Well, he asked me to marry him during the clearance sale.
Did you ever consider it?
To be honest, I did.
Well, why didn't you?
Well, I didn't know whether I loved him. Maybe I'd be marrying him for his money.
Has he got money?
He makes $55 a week. But I don't see how a woman can marry a man with money. She'd always feel that maybe... Well, maybe she'd married him not for what he was, but for what he had.
And that's torn it.
Oh, dear me, this is our station. Good night. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night, good night. Oh, good night, you two.
Wake up, Joe. Wake up, they're getting off. Say something.
Huh? Oh, hey, Higgins forgot something.
Couldn't you say good night? What's the matter with you?
Oh, well, Higgins forgot a card. Fell out of his pocket on the seat.
Oh, well, give it to me. I'll give it back to him in the morning. What is it, anyway? Oh, to whom it may concern... Thomas Higgins is employed in a confidential capacity and is accountable only to me, Arthur Davies, head of personnel, Neely's department store.
What's that?
Oh, no. Not Higgins. Not a spy. A dirty spy.
Well, our friend Higgins seems to be a little late this morning. Probably drinking last night.
Oh, he only had 3 beers.
You were with him yesterday?
Yes. No. Mary and Joe. No, just Tom and I. I mean, Mr. Higgins and I. We went to the beach. He asked me before you did, really.
Yeah, that's perfectly all right. Ah, and who have we here?
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Mr. Higgins. I mean, Tom.
We're a little late this morning, aren't we?
Oh, are you a late too?
You are a little late this morning.
Yes, I am.
And why, may I ask?
Because I overslept. I was tired.
Oh, that's a novel excuse.
Well, it's the truth.
I don't like the tone of your voice.
And I don't like the tone of yours.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Another employee of the store. That's all. And a darn poor one at that.
Do you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be fired.
I'm going to be fired. Now, let me tell you something. You're going to be fired. How do you like that, huh?
Why, Higgins, and I thought you were a company spy.
Me, a spy?
Oh, my goodness, this is revolution. Never in all my years at Neely's. Oh, never, oh, Grace, the world is going crazy.
Oh, look, that's my Joe.
What's the matter?
Now we'll see. Right, over here, gentlemen. Here's another dangerous character.
Oh, company detective, they've got my Joe.
Hey, what's going on here?
Take this one, too. His name is Higgins. He's in on the plot.
Come on, Higgins, grab him, Louise.
Come along quietly, Mr. Higgins.
Come on, now, all of you. The general manager wants to see you.
Take your hands off of me.
Diplip, Higgins. The Cossacks are putting the muscle on you.
Where are you taking
him? To the general manager's office.
Is this how he makes people come to his office?
Come on.
Whoop!
Oh, Mr. Higgins, they can't do this to you.
I'll say they can't. Wait till I get that general manager.
Shut up and come on.
All right, Allison. So you're the general manager, eh? Now let me tell you something, sir. I've observed firsthand how you discharge your responsibility. Can't you see that dealing with people the way you do is the reason for this civil war around here? I've worked with these people. They've got rights. You bumble-witted idiot.
Oh, Tom, it's wonderful what you're doing. And me thinking you were a spy. Well, you'll never be sorry. Let them fire you. As long as I have a breath in my body, you'll never go hungry.
Yeah, Mr. Allison. Take these people and throw them out in the street. And then you, Miss Clauber, make out discharge slips for everyone on the fifth floor.
You can't do that to us.
Oh, I can't, eh, Higgins?
No, you can't. And my name isn't...
Yes.
Don't argue with him, Higgsy.
Don't argue with him? I'll say I won't argue with him. I'm going to fire him. I'm going to fire the whole pack of them.
Oh, Higgsy, you're overdoing it.
Fire us, huh? First you come in here with a persecution complex. And now you've got delusions of grandeur. Throw him out.
Oh, my.
He thinks he's J.P. Merrick himself. Throw them all out.
Just a minute, Mr.
Wait,
Allison.
Wait, stop. Car, huh? I'll show you who is J.P. Merrick. I'll show you.
Oh, relax, Higgsy. It's easier when you hit the sidewalk. Well, you said they couldn't, but they did. Where did you land, Higgsy?
Well, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these days we're going and throwing them out.
I'm going back and do that now.
Thomas, you come right here this instant.
Who? Me?
Yes. Stop writing in that little black book. We're on our way to get married. After all, who are we to keep the mayor waiting? Mr. Higgins, where are you taking me?
I'm taking my bride home. Upsy-daisy.
Oh, oh my goodness.
I've got to carry you over the threshold.
Now you put me down this instant. Oh, and you lost your mind. This isn't where you live. This is the mansion of the old monster himself, J.P. Merrick. Oh, I don't want to spend my honeymoon in jail.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Merrick.
Good evening, George. Dinner for two this evening. And by the way, George, this is Mrs. Merrick. Get some clean rice, George. One only gets married once.
Merrick. Mr. Merrick. You're not Higgins?
No, my dear. I'm J.P. Merrick in the flesh.
Oh!
Turn down a bed, George. Mrs. Merrick has fainted.
It isn't that I mind you being J.P. himself, or me being Mrs. J.P. What about all our friends?
Have you forgotten my little black book, darling? We're going down tomorrow and spend the first day of our happy honeymoon getting things straightened out at that store. And I mean straightened out. After all, my dear, they can't push people like us around, eh?
Oh, no, Tom. I mean, J.P. Oh, I mean...
Darling.
Darling.
Yes.
Mr.
Devil and Miss Jones, starring Charles Coburn and Virginia Mayo, has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Theater. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
The Armed Forces Radio Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from 1948, Charles Coburn reprising his role as John P. Merrick in The Devil and Miss Jones, which hit the silver screen in 1941, co-starring Robert Cummings and Gene Arthur. It was also adapted on radio two other times, on the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater in 1943 with Coburn, and again in 1946 on the Academy Award Theater. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now we move on to The Milton Berle Show, an NBC episode from March 9, 1948, called A Salute to Income Tax.
Johnny presents The Milton Berle Show. From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show, with Bert Telson, Jack Albus, and Mary Schiff, Billy Sands, Al Kelly, Johnny Gibson, Charlie Irving, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Keller. Ladies and gentlemen.
No commercial.
This week, America sits down to figure out its income tax. We now bring you a man who is always ready to shell out. He should. He works for peanuts. And here he is, Milton Berle.
The introduction. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, may I say you can't get me mad tonight?
No.
No, I'm too happy. I just paid my income tax, and this year I was so lucky they let me keep my mother. You're right, Mr. Gallup. After all, what is money? It's nothing but stuff that's printed in Washington, circulates around the country for a few weeks, and eventually winds up with Bing Crosby. Thank you. Those are the few that bet on Crosby's horses out there. Oh, that Crosby, he has money. He has one brother, really, one brother, Everett, who does nothing but sit on it, just to keep it from blowing away. At least my brother, Frank, oh, he's nice and boy. He has a career, at least. He's a professional dependent. I have a brother who's afraid to go to sleep. He dreams he's working. Oh, this week he almost got a job as a bartender, but it fell through. He didn't know how to fix a television set. Television, that's the thing that's coming on, you know. You may not laugh at this show, but you'll learn a few things. But, Mr. Gallup, what did you say?
I said that our subject is income tax.
That's true.
Yes. Now, did anyone have to explain the income tax report to you?
I can't. I didn't hear what you said.
I say, did anyone have to explain the income tax report to you?
Oh, are you kidding? To me, they had to explain the Kinsey report. Oh, that you know, huh? But I'm really going to get hit this year with income tax, Mr. Gallup. You see, everything that I made on this program, I have to list as accrued income.
And I can't think of a cruder way of getting an income.
Oh, Mr. Gallup, you seem so irritable tonight. Really, what happened? Did they forget to put a clean sheet on your slab this morning? Poor Mr. Gallup. He just can't get any rest. Every time he lies down, someone starts shoveling dirt in his face. Mr. Gallup, may I say this tonight? Am I too presumptuous? If I say that you look like something a dog just buried in the backyard and is trying to forget where. Trying to forget where? Some jokes, eh, Mr. Gallup?
Yes, don't you wish they were yours?
Mr. Gallup, changing the subject, back to no laughs. Have you had any experience with income tax?
No, you see, for years, my dad never bothered filing an income tax return.
He didn't?
No, not until someone explained it to him. It was the happiest day of his life when he found that the government allowed $400 for each child.
$400 for each child?
Yes, as fast as mother had them, he sold them.
Why, that's horrible, Mr. Gallup. Your father sold his own children?
Well, this was in the midst of the Depression. He was desperate.
Oh.
It was either that or give up Sen Sen.
Why, you're breathless. He was on the spot, eh, Mr. Gallup? And he didn't pay his income tax. And what did the government do?
Oh, for years they came around yelling at our front door.
Gallup is a miser, dirty, stingy miser, and yeah.
And this went on for years?
Yes, but father would yell back, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
What finally happened?
One year, they showed up with sticks and stones.
Mr. Gallup, that's a beautiful tale, and if I were you, I'd brush it and tie it onto my radiator cap. But... oh, that's a goodie. On with the show tonight as we salute income tax. Attention, taxpayers. The government has announced a big change in income tax procedure.
To you who every year have paid your income tax with a smile.
This year, the government wants you to pay it with money. Ladies and gentlemen, for you who may be troubled with your income tax, we have with us tonight one of our nation's leading tax experts who, in simple language, will clarify any problems that you may have. May I present Mr. Felix J. Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Finster.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Finster, is there any way that you can avoid filing an income tax report?
Yes. If you want to get out of paying income tax, simply file a Crosby on a thing with Give Yesterday for the accountant to slab. Now, he doesn't know that anything you would want to claim has meant that yours is only a slime which you have to void. It'll give you a definite void without knowing yours is slab.
I see.
They can't give you more than 10 years.
Tell us, Mr. Finster, do many people actually try and cheat the government?
What a coincidence. You know, just last week, a man came into my office and said, Mr. Finster, I would like to file a Marseille Snoop without an Arbuzbuff Glavis. He would like to file a Marseille Snoop without an Arbuzbuff Glavis. Who wouldn't? So I said to him, look at that. Who do you think I am? A slimy? Do I look like a man that would want a slumber babe because you have a space? Why, you're the biggest clubbing race that would dare to grace my strand. And would you believe it? To this day, that man has to wear an elastic stocking.
Mr. Finster, where can a taxpayer go for help in making out his income tax?
Taxpayers, If you have any problem, go to the Department of Internal Snug W. Style Flair. It's on the second floor of the Schmalman building. Ask for a Miss Yente Stratowat. You will find her very friendly. In fact, there's a story that she both stayed asleep and hasn't got a time of thought. But she proved she was in Denver at the time.
Well, Mr. Finster, have you a final word to our listeners and to the millions who are about to pay their tax?
Yes.
Tell us.
Citizens, dig down deep into your gutkins. Scrape the bottom of your smarmy farmer's floor, save in the poor slab. And remember, there's only one cause. But in the words of that great statesman, Iggy Lesmirup, who said, quote, it is better to strive any part that the government has given for sale than to take your voice for salmon.
Right, right.
We are the ones who have the graces.
Right.
We know it's a former. There must be a chance
all
for
right.
us who never
all
wants
right.
to play.
All right. Okay. Okay. Lady.
All right.
Thank you. And now, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone should... All right. I wouldn't say he's a ham, but he bows for 8 minutes. Thank you very much, Mr. Finster. And ladies and gentlemen of our listening audience, everyone who makes money in this country should be very proud to pay income tax. From the Wall Street tycoon down to the hardworking little girlfriend of yours. That little girlfriend who used to come up to you and sing... 10 cents a dance, that's what they pay me. Gosh, but they weigh me down. Hey, hey, 10 cents a dance. I've heard of kitten on the keys, but this is the first time I ever saw a cow on one. Well, let's go on. Mood, please. M-O-O-D, mood. Ah, Cynthia. Golden memories of Cynthia, my little dance hall hostess. They used to give you 10 cents a dance, and you were the only girl who had to give back 8 cents change. Cynthia, my society dancer, you only dance with the upper set, the lower you used to keep in a glass. What a ballet dancer.
What a ballet dancer you are, Cynthia. Remember that night that you started twirling on one toe? You couldn't stop and you screwed yourself into the dance floor up to your neck. What a picture you made with just your head sticking up out of the floor. Your head wouldn't have looked so bad if those two little kids hadn't started a soccer game. Twinkle toes, Cynthia. You were always the last one in the conga line. Why not? You had a tail light. Cynthia, I love to watch you do the Lindy Hop, the Lindy Hop. Used to hop from one table to the other at Lindy's, stealing waiters' bits. Then the waiters caught you. So until you grow fingers again, you won't be able to sing, "Oh, come on, big boy, 10 cents a day." Now, as we continue our salute to Income Tax Week, we present...
Income Tax Forum tonight. Income Tax Forum tonight. The question, does Rita Hayworth need any help in filling out her form, or did she do all right by herself?
Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's have questions from the folks in the audience, or let's start with this young man on the first row with a dentist hand caught in his throat. Young man, you are young, aren't you? Yeah. Young man, what is your name, please?
My name is King Michael.
King Michael, is that your name?
I'm not the one who was kicked out of Romania.
Oh, you're not, huh?
No, I'm the one who was kicked out of the Paramount balcony.
I see what you mean.
I sure have my troubles with the name King Michael.
You have your troubles?
Yes, some dame in Denmark keeps calling me and asking me, "So when already?"
All right, Mike, you have a question concerning income taxes.
Would you repeat the question, please?
Yes.
Don't bother. You'll sound just as stupid as you did the first time.
Well, I thought
Boy,
that...
you must really be hard up for material if you're down for talking about income taxes.
Now, look,
How come no jokes? Did your radio blow a tube during the Bob Hope broadcast?
If you...
What's the matter? Did the censor take out all the jokes and geez, just leave you straight line?
But I'm...
What's the matter? Did your mother forget to yuck it up tonight?
Please.
Now your mother's applause.
We must try and keep order. Let's hear from the feminine voice now. All right, this lady in the aisle scrambling the egg she laid last week. What is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that has to do with income taxes?
Yeah, why can't my husband keep a job long enough so he can pay taxes? He's a regular jack of all trades.
Your husband doesn't earn enough during the year?
Yeah, what he made last year he can put in a pig's ear.
Really?
Yeah, but it makes him hard of hearing.
I see what you mean.
For a while, he worked in a bakery.
In a bakery? What did he do?
You know where it says on the bread, not touched by human hands?
Yes.
He was the one who touched it.
I get it.
Once when my husband went around selling magazines, I made him quit.
You did? Mrs. Feeney, you should see that your husband gets ahead.
You should see the magazines he was selling.
You mean they were a bit risque?
Oh, huh?
I understand.
Once he worked in a fish market, the way he scaled a fish was amazing.
What's amazing about scaling a fish?
With his teeth.
Oh. That's different.
He finally had to quit. It was the smell that done it.
He couldn't stand the fish?
The fish couldn't stand him.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you very much. To add an authentic note to our form, we have as our guest tonight a man who dedicates his strength and brawn in the relentless pursuit of income tax violators. He is that strong arm of the Treasury Department, that famous T-man, J. Edgar Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. This is indeed a heartwarming and glorious occasion for me to say howdy do to the thousands of tax dodgers who I've followed across oceans, down rivers, and found myself up the creek.
Tell us,
Mr. Excuse me, Mr. Burrell, do you mind if I lean against you? Mm. I'm winded.
You're tired?
5 this morning, they called me down to City Hall to okay a record.
A tax form?
No, my death certificate.
Mr. Featherfield, you're not dead.
Go fight City Hall.
Mr. Featherfield, I can't help but admire the bravery that you men display.
How about that?
Yeah, how about it?
Mr. Burrell, just last week I spotted a tax dodger. With my revolver blazing, I went for him. We had a running gunfight.
Oh, he had a gun, too?
Why do you think I was running?
Tell me, what happened?
Well, it ended when his gun got jammed.
Good, good.
Well, not so good. It was jammed down my throat.
You must be proud of the name T-Man.
Oh, I don't mind, but my wife complains. You see, that makes her a tea bag.
Take it easy, Mr. Featherfield. Please control yourself.
I can't help it. I feel so jazzy tonight.
Mr. Featherfield, you're involved all year with crooks who do not pay their income tax. Haven't you a word for the millions of citizens who do pay their income tax?
Yes, I have a word. Suckers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Here's our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing...
Just an old sombrero and an old Spanish shawl bring her tender memories of an old garden wall when a gay caballero sang his song of love as he tossed his sombrero to her balcony above. And she held him so close as he vowed to be true. Then he sighed, adios, I'll be coming back to you through the long. Waiting with her faded souvenir, but she feels they're together as her tears start to fall on an old sombrero and an old Spanish shawl, on an old sombrero. And an old Spanish heart.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Dick Farney. Wonderful. Mr. Gallup.
Yes, Bill.
Big part. Mr. Gallup, one thing that I pride myself about, you know, about income tax, of all the years that I have been paying income tax, I never had any trouble. Until last year. It was just about this time of the year, last year, that my wife and I were home, and we were sitting in our house. Now, remember, dear, I want absolute quiet. I'm making out my own income tax.
Milton, why don't you take it down to the candy store and let Sussman do it again?
No, I'm tired of sending in my tax forms with Holobar stains. Now, let's see. I have a form here. I have a pencil and paper.
You better take off your shoes and stockings. You may have to add.
Please, I do not count on my toes.
Well, you should. You got 14 of them.
Please.
You always look like you're standing on a bunch of bananas.
Standing on a bunch of bananas. Standing on a bunch of bananas. Will you give your mouth a rest?
Will you give your mouth a rest? Will you give your mouth a rest?
Now, please. Let's see those tax forms. Gee, it looks simple. Name, please print. Where's that pencil? Oh, here. Milton. M-I-L-T-O-N. Burl. B-E-R-R-A-E-L-E. Dear, will you hand me that eraser?
Here.
Burl. B-E-R. These things are tougher than I thought. Let's see. Occupation. Comedian.
Here's the eraser again.
Now, let it stand. Maybe they never heard my program. Now, let's see. Here's the $64 question. How much did you make and get it up? Let me figure. Let me see. I've been on the air for Philip Morris for a year. 6 months of it was an audition. That leaves 36 weeks at 110. Oh, no. Darn it. The telephone.
I'll get it. Hello? Oh, hello, Mildred. It's Bert Lahr's wife, Mildred.
Well, cut it short.
Yes, Mildred? The recipe for my pineapple upside down cake? Sure, I'll tell you.
Let's see, line three. How much did you make in 1947?
Mildred, you start with two small pineapples.
I made a total of two small pineapples. Hey, this is simple. Oh, that knock. Oh, that's Sam Harrison and his wife Martha. That's all I need. Come in.
Hi, Mildred. Martha's Women's Club is meeting at our house, so I said, I'll just take our daughter Susie and me over to the Burls until the cackling blows over. That's just what I said, isn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Hello, Martha. Hello, little Susie. My wife is on the phone, Sam, and I'm doing my income
tax. Milty, we're just going to sit down and do Susie's homework.
Susie's homework?
You run along, Martha. Try and have a good time without me.
Yes.
Sam, please don't bring the child in here and do her homework. I'm doing my income tax here on the living room table.
Susie and I'll just sit here on the other side and be as quiet as two little mice. Won't we, Susie?
Yes.
She's just as gabby as her old lady. Now, back to my taxes. If I...
No, Mildred, it's two Hawaiian pineapples and 12 eggs.
Will you please get off that phone? Let's see. 36 times 100 is 12 eggs and carry two Hawaiian pineapples. Now, line four.
Ready for homework, Susie?
Yes.
There we are. Freddy the Fisher catches 16 lobsters.
Line four, name of employer. Philip the Fisher. What am I saying? It's Mara's pineapple. No, no. I'll put it down.
No, Mildred. Hawaiian pineapple.
Line five. State your nationality. That's easy. Hawaiian. Line six. Were you ever convicted of a crime?
Was I ever convicted of a crime?
Yes.
Yes. If so, what was your sentence?
Put 12 eggs in a mixmaster.
Sentence. 12 years in a mixmaster. Long time to be in stir. And now for the deduction.
Nick, now the problem of Tilly the Titmouse. And where do you think she lives?
Line 10, state your wife's name. Tilly the Titmouse. Line 11, where does your wife live?
In a hole in Central Park.
Thanks, in a hole in Central Park. Reminds me, we've got to have it painted.
One day, what do you think Tilly the Titmouse saw?
Line 12, what did they withhold from your wages?
A small piece of cheese.
A small piece of cheese. Funny, I never even missed it. Hey, this tax is a cinch.
Good night, Mildred. I hope your husband, Bert, likes the cake. Good night. I'm through, Mildred.
Homework's done, Susie.
I'm almost done, too. Leaving a tax due of... But they withheld... So that leaves... What do you know? The government owes me a small piece of cheese, 2 months... There. I made out all my tax all by myself, and everybody says I'm a dope.
Yes.
Look at this in the paper, darling. Income taxes were made out last week, and guys are being pulled in already. Ah, the chumps. Oh, that's Sam and Martha. Come in.
Hello, Milty.
Oh, hello, Sam and Martha and little Susie. Sam, what happened? Where's your lamp?
I left it down at the school board where they had me and Susie under observation all week. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
But Sam...
That homework we did here last week. Look at these answers. Freddy the Fisher wound up selling 30 lobsters for a piece of cheese. Tilly the Titmouse was left with the fiduciary and a mixmaster. And Squinty the Squirrel made $2,000 on the Philip Morris program.
Sam, please, it's not my fault if you got confused.
Confused?
Yes.
They want to throw our little Susie out of school. Don't they, Susie?
Yes.
Now, look, Sam, if you only concentrated like me... Excuse me. Come in. Yes?
You Milton Burl?
Yes, I am.
I'm from the homicide squad. You're under arrest for murder.
Well, if there's any... Yeah. For murder?
Yes. That cake recipe you gave Bert Law's wife.
But Bert, what happened?
They've been pumping him out for 24 hours.
No.
So far, they got 6 pineapples, 18 nuts, 4 lobsters, and a squirrel.
Please. No, I'm innocent. My wife made a mistake. Bert's my friend. Tell me, how is he?
They just got x-rays of his stomach.
No.
You'll be in court tomorrow.
Oh, poor Bert.
Poor Bert. Poor you and Sam just don't have any power of concentration. Look at me. I did my income tax at the same time. It was perfect. I haven't heard a word. Not a peep. Yep. There's a story, the gypsies.
Someone's at the door.
Someone's at the door. I know. Come in.
Mr. Burrow?
Yes, I'm Mr. Burrow.
Nice place you have here.
Thank you very much.
Nice furniture. Nice car outside.
Thank you.
Don't you find it difficult keeping up when last year you only made two small pineapples?
Oh, we managed. We cut comfort.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I can explain.
I'm from the FBI.
Look, I will...
Come clean, Pearl. You sold more than 18 lobsters all last year.
Me sell. I never heard. Me sell. You know what I'm saying? You see, my wife was on the phone. She was selling an upside-down cake.
Well, if your wife runs a bakery, why wasn't that in the report?
A bakery? My wife. You know what my wife did. My wife... Look, I'm a comedian, and I'm in radio.
You sell lobsters, your wife runs a bakery, you're a big radio comedian, and you only made two small pineapples?
I have a very bad agent. I mean, look, give me another chance. Everything's got mixed up, please.
Okay, you got 24 hours to get in another report.
24? Quick, give me the pencil and paper. Where's that form? Income tax for 1947.
Hello, Mildred?
Sit down, Susie. We're doing these problems again.
Hello, Mildred. I feel awful about Bert's stomach.
If Charlie the Chipmunk lays a dozen eggs.
Total income. I made a dozen chipmunks working in Bert Lahr's stomach.
And two chipmunks.
Divide Bert Lahr by two squirrels.
A total of two pineapples. Oh, no. This is terrible. Stop. This is...
Your girlfriend Milton saying goodnight. See you next Tuesday. Good night.
Listen, Johnny again. Returning now from the thousands of store windows and corridors all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and...
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Milton Berle Show on Tuned 2 Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from March 9th, 1948. That brings to an end this hour of comedy on Tuned 2 Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.